dude, who'd you order pizza from?
Went with these dudes in the phone book that go by the name of Punch in the Face Pizza. Sounded kind of interesting, so figured we'd use them once.
Should have gone with Big Tony's.
You and your shouldas. You can order it next time. I got it. Probably the pizza. Ow. What the hell?
You're a pizza jerk face.
Okay, but... Ah! Stop it.
Thanks for choosing Punch in the Face Pizza. Ask about our specials.
Oh, I thought it was just a name, not... Dude, just take your money and go.
Hey, where's the tip?
Tip? You have to be freaking kidding me.
Thank you for your business. Remember, we cater weddings and funerals.
Was that him?
Shut up, dude. I didn't think they actually punch people in the face. What the hell kind of business practice is that?
Should have gone with Big Tony's.
Will our heroes ever eat pizza again? Stay tuned next week for more of this stupid show.
This is Extra Life Radio.
Extra special support for this episode of Extra Life Radio comes to us by Edward Lanning, Tim Sitton, Vinny DiStefano, Alex Bammerlin. This episode is for you. Hey, everybody. Oh, welcome back to what we hope will be an awesome night. This is Extra Life Radio, ELR number 182 for Sunday, May 25th, 2008. I am Scott Johnson, and this is the official podcast of MyExtraLife.com. If you haven't been, you may want to go. The show is sponsored in part by YouByNow.com, where if you want to save 10% on that sweet Count Dooku freaking lightsaber you've had your eye on, well, then look no further than them and use Extra Life and save that 10%. Also, GoDaddy.com is in the hizzy. Use Life 1, Life 2, and Life 3 as your codes. You'll save money on domains, hosting, and much more. Let's jump right into this week's paraphernalia. Joining us from CommissionComic.com, we have Obsidian. Obsidian, hello.
Woo. Hello, Mr. Johnson.
I should have called you Shoe Lord or something like that. People haven't heard about this. If you go to flickr.com/oabnormal, you'll see all of his Nike shoe designs, and they are wicked awesome. I'd wear those things.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear them.
Yeah.
Because I was going to send some free ones.
Yeah.
I seem to remember the B-Man here has some pretty big feet, don't you?
Yeah.
He's
Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, yeah.
What size are you again?
Size 22.
Oh, no, my. Just kidding. Dude, what are you?
Size 13. Size 13.
Mutated Shaquille O'Neal size or something.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even have size 13s here in Colombia. Yeah.
Wow.
I have big feet for a Colombian, yeah, and I'm size 10, 10 and a half.
Dude, that's
size
awesome.
13, extra wide. That's right.
So they can
hold up all that, Brian.
Do you have a hard time finding shoes? By the way, this is Brian from MissionDeep.com and ComicsCoastToCoast.com, but you all knew that. Brian, what do you have trouble finding shoes that fit?
How's it going? Actually, yes, I do. And the reason why is because a lot of these youngsters nowadays are wearing 13s and 12s.
Youngsters.
Because they've been eating all the chicken. Yeah, they've been eating all the chicken, so they get out there and they buy all the freaking shoes, and I'm like, dang it. But it doesn't matter. I'll tell you right now, it doesn't matter what you do. I can't buy shoes because I go out and buy shoes, and on the racks, they got all the really cool-looking shoes. They're like size 8s and 9s. I'm like, oh, look at this. This is an awesome shoe. And you say, can you get me this in a 13? They come back out, and it's like, ew. What happened?
Freak.
Why does this look weird? Looks like clown shoes. Take them back. Take them back.
Yeah, you don't need that. So can you tell me why? How chicken is directly responsible for the size of shoes? I'm confused.
Growth hormones.
Oh.
Okay. So that goes directly to the feet.
yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, would it be really cool if on the way to the feet, it just made a stop in the midsection?
Yeah.
That's the rumor.
Brian could use that.
But we won't talk about that again.
Yeah. They need to call you tripod in high school. All right. Well, I'm excited about having a show.
So your feet are not only long, but they're also wide?
They're misshapen.
They're just big. They're like huge. They're like bricks. I have really good balance. Yeah, I have really good balance. It's hard to knock me down. It really is.
So you've got a really
strong
base.
You're like one of those inflatable clowns that you can punch. And these
Hey, what were those called? Those were called something. Come on, dig deep into our 80s memorabilia here. They were called
that's
something.
That's a good question. No, it was. It was something weird.
Chat room. What do they say? Hello,
they don't say anything yet. They haven't said anything yet. They don't know. I can't remember. I know what you're talking about.
They're not the Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. I know they had versions of the big stand-up ones, so that may have been.
Dean Cain. Dean Cain's got a new movie, too, coming out. What is that? I saw it the other day.
It is on Judgment Day. It is the day of remembrance. It is.
All right. What movie is it? Is it an actual theatrical release or some straight-to-video piece of crap like usual?
I was thinking that it was an advertisement on Hulu, so I think it was an actual... I just think it was a real movie, though. I think it was a real movie.
Really?
Day of the Future, is that it? I don't know. Let me see. Let me go to the Internet Movie Database. Hold on. Wait up.
You know Scott hates the Internet Movie Database.
Oh, me. Yeah, he loves me some. I love that place. That's one of my favorite places on Earth. Dean Cain. Yeah, look it up. It's probably some straight-to-video zombie movie or something that's on USA All Night or some other... And maybe you're just going to replay Superman again or something.
Speaking of regular TV, A&E tomorrow night and Tuesday night, they're going to have the Andromeda Strain. It's going to be like a little mini-series thing from understanding.
I love that show, or that book.
I love that. Did you ever see the first movie?
I never saw the movie, but I love the book.
It was awesome. The book is awesome also.
Really?
So check it out. If you get A&E, check it out tomorrow night. I think it's around 8, 9 o'clock or something.
All right. Now, while you're looking that up, I got some other news. We're using this part of the show to just throw crap out there. We talked about shoes. We talked about A&E. Now I got to tell you about this. I was asked to be a guest on a little panel show called the Friday Night Party Line, which sounds like nothing like what it is.
Very nice.
Yeah. You guys just Google Friday Night Party Line, maybe throw a podcast in there as well, and you'll find a link to it and you can check it out. That was a whole lot of fun. And Fade over there, who was the host, and his cronies were fascinating. We talked about real important stuff like gas prices and economics and things that are totally different than what we cover here, which are poop jokes and movies. Yeah. But anyway, you'll want to maybe check that out and see what you think about that. Also, there was something else, and I don't remember it now. Damn it! I can't remember.
Scott All right. Johnson.
So go ahead. Who do we got? What's the movie?
It's not Ace of Hearts, but that looks interesting. I think we talked about that before. It was like some kind of dog thing or something.
Ace of Hearts.
Some kind of Reader's Digest movie. Ace of Hearts. That's not it. But that did come out in 2008. So see, he's doing stuff.
Reader's Digest.
Shut up.
Are you kidding
me? He's doing stuff.
He's doing stuff.
Can someone explain?
$5 a day. That's not it. It's got Sharon Stone in that, though. Oh, that's interesting. Christopher Walken. Oh, okay. Making Mr. Right. Was that it? I don't think so.
This episode brought to you by Brian, reading IMDb.com.
You know it.
Tonight on Extra Life Radio, Brian reads Internet Movie Database poetry.
I can't find it. I don't know. Maybe it's just a figment of my imagination. Maybe I was just dreaming or something.
Entirely possible is all I'm saying about that. Yeah.
Well, we all dream of Dean Cain. It happens to us all.
Can't help it.
I got to quit chewing gum. People can hear me doing it. Okay. All right. After that randomness, I swear there was something else I was supposed to say. Dang it. It's going to bug me.
Let's talk about Obsidian's. How's Columbia doing? They holding up after that death of that guy?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk current events.
Okay. Shouldn't you play the ELR news?
Oh, yeah. Wait.
ELR news.
And on this week's edition of ELR news, we have some sort of crazy information about Columbia. Take it away.
Well, first of all, somebody told me that there was an earthquake here in Colombia yesterday,
correct.
But I didn't know about it, so I guess I didn't feel it, and I guess it wasn't that big then. I don't know.
You didn't feel it?
I didn't feel it. No.
I just thought you was making love.
Oh, dude. If people hadn't died in that, did people die in that earthquake? Because if they did, Brian is a very bad man.
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry.
I,
I hope not.
Well, to be honest, I haven't looked it up yet. So,
I'll
look it up later.
Is that stuff is that stuff directly correlated to the Japanese one? Like, does that stuff? Is it because of?
Every time Japan has one, they have one. It's envy. Earthquake envy.
You know what I mean? Earthquake.
Do you know anything
envy,
about
dude.
The world?
All I'm saying, I mean, the one in China was bad. They think they're like 10,000 people or something. But I'm just wondering if that somehow affects the tectonic plates or whatever it is and makes it like shift around underneath the ocean so that other countries and places are affected.
Yeah, you shouldn't try
on
science.
On to other news.
Yeah, you shouldn't try science. Tell us about Manuel Sureshot. That was his nickname. Leave me alone. I looked it up.
Wait. Manuel Sureshot? You're looking at an old porno.
Manuel Sureshot Marulondo.
That's like the back of some 70s porno. Manuel Sureshot in Slippery When Wet.
He was a rebel leader.
Yeah. A rebel leader. I'm too fat.
Okay. Anyway,
I'm too fat. Go ahead, Brian.
Now, calling them rebels sort of dignifies them a bit. They're from the Colombian gorilla, which you always find hilarious because you immediately relate it to an ape. They're basically, you know, like the big terrorist group here in Colombia, the ones that the war is going on against, and you know, the ones that kidnap all the people and put all the bombs and all that kind of stuff. And
so
this guy was
like, is this kind of like if Osama bin Laden died? Is this kind of like how that is that how
yes,
big
yes,
it is?
Yes, it is basically that, except this guy was the oldest guerrilla member, the oldest rebel on the planet, actually.
It's hard to be a rebel when you're 90. Rebel.
This guy has been a member of that group for 44 years, and so he was basically the oldest one on the planet.
How do you
planet.
Stay that
he
angry
died,
for that long?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm still pissed. I'm pissed off. Go ahead.
Now the thing is, this guy, it's not even confirmed yet that he died. Maybe they confirmed it during the day, but apparently he died from a heart attack or something like that.
Yeah.
But the big speculation is if this guy was really so important that it would affect the war, because he was their leader, of course, but he was also very old and very sick. So some people speculate that he might have not had that much power anymore. And mostly he was just more like a symbolic figure.
Yeah, exactly.
But he died, though, and who knows if that will affect their strategy, but it's definitely going to affect their morale. So, and you know, morale is needed.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, we're not in the movies where if you kill the leader, like the rest of the group just gives up.
Yeah, no, forget it. I killed the big guy. Let's go. Let's all go home.
This is fascinating. I've never had so much current events on this show before ever. I really don't think we have.
Yeah, who cares, right?
No. I think people care. These are the things. The listeners, you know, we think it's all about comic books and video games and movies and things. Nah, dude.
And it is.
They want to hear about Colombian rebels. Yeah. Which, by the way,
I wanted to know if it was going to change O's lifestyle. You know, I was just wondering how
it sounds like a it sounds like an arena football team down there, the Colombian Rebels.
Yeah,
I like it.
I don't know if it's going to change my lifestyle. I mean, the truth is, the war between the guerrillas and the army does affect our lifestyle a lot. I mean, it affects the economy. It affects everything here. When the war is over, it will affect our lifestyle, but. Okay, that's my cell phone in the background.
Is that you? I thought that was Scott.
I thought you were having a dream transition.
That's the rebels calling now. Quick, get off the line.
I thought O was saying it was almost like yesterday, and he started rubbing his chin, and the screen started fading out. And I thought that's what that sound was. Who is it? Is it anyone important? You're not going to just hang up on him, are you?
I don't know. I mean,
is it Nike?
It wasn't somebody I knew. It was just a number.
You will cease talking about the Colombian rebels, or we will come to your hut and kill you.
I'm not dead.
Yeah.
I was just sleeping. I'm not dead.
I was joking. Everything's fine here.
I'm all Gilbert right. Godfrey.
That's what you're doing, dude. What's your deal? All right. So let's move on. That's awesome stuff. Actually, I really do find that stuff interesting. I don't know. It's just different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can compare those guys to the Nazis. like you would see in Indiana Jones. Segway.
Brian.
Oh, let us talk about.
Dude. Well, before we do that, let's introduce it properly. Here it is.
That's kind of loud.
All right, enjoy that music while it lasts, because it will soon make you very sad if you've not yet seen Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Bullcrap.
We're not going to do any spoilers, are we?
No, here's what we're going to say about right up top. There's a couple of assumptions I'm going to make about people's general knowledge of... Sorry, Kim came in and threw me off. General knowledge of Indiana Jones, the new Indiana Jones movies, and that knowledge is this. That Harrison Ford is in it, that Shia LaBeouf is in it, and that these crystal skulls have some connection to aliens. That's all I'm going to say that's spoilerish. Everything else we'll leave up to you, but we're going to talk all about this movie.
So there's Scientologists in this movie?
Just about, dude. Just freaking about. So have either of you seen the film yet?
I haven't seen it yet. We're supposed to go see it tomorrow because Memorial Day, so
Good movie day. So, have you seen it either by piracy or other means?
Nope.
Okay. So, I'm the only one that has. That's probably a good thing because I can't wait to get your response. Some people would say, well, then now Scott's going to talk about it. It'll ruin it for those two. Trust me. These guys can think on their own. They can see their own movies and come to their own conclusions.
Can't think on his own.
Well, that's true.
No. Hold on a second.
He's a puppet.
Okay, yes, right.
The man does control you from under the floor.
Yes.
What's that?
Get your hand in my butt. Okay.
I'll just get started here. I have not been this disappointed in a movie since Episode One of Star Wars, which is not all that lost on people with some sense of irony, since the writer of both films is George Lucas, and I really believe that most of the blame for my problems with the film lie at his feet or somewhere nestled in his giant turtleneck. Not sure where. Yeah. I was pretty excited, but I went into this knowing that, when I was a kid and later a teenager, as the other movies came out, and 19 when the third one came out,
really?
I was in love with the series. I think it's one of the greatest things ever. I even like Temple of Doom, even though most people think it's the weakest of the three, and maybe it is, but it's still a lot of fun to watch.
I love it.
And there's lots of Indiana Jones-ish things happening in that movie, and it's all good as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I had a real fondness for these films, and I accepted the universe and the characters and everything about it, and I was happy. It was great. So when I went into this movie, I checked all of that at the door. I tried to say to myself, okay, look, in 1981, you were young, just a kid, and you were willing to accept anything that seemed even remotely cool on the surface.
Yeah,
and you've seen these in subsequent viewings, and you still enjoy them, but, you know, some of this may not be here this time. This magic may be for your 8-year-old or your 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And I was okay with that. And I did this on purpose, because I didn't really do that with Star Wars. I went into Star Wars expecting a lot and came away with very little in the prequels, even though I know O is actually kind of fond of the prequels, but we'll get to that in a second. So,
we will?
Yes, oh yeah. So,
we're going to
discuss
the Star Wars prequels.
Well, no. I don't mean that, but I mean... Okay. I think it's exactly. So I go into this movie with the expectation that this might be geared toward a younger generation, but that I should still enjoy it and get the Indiana Jones-ish things out of it again, right? They would be consistent with the universe and the characters and everything else. They didn't do any of that.
Interesting.
They did ridiculous things. I see things that happen in this movie that reminded me of things that happened in the Star Wars movies that just seemed completely silly and stupid. For example, everyone complains about how Jar Jar Binks was so annoying. Arguably, I would say the most annoying character in Episode One was that two-headed race commentator thing that did the pod race play-by-play.
Yeah.
Of course, Anakin was the worst puppet of everyone. That kid was terrible. But anyway.
Actually, I did rewatch Episode One not too long ago.
Yeah.
And while I still love the movie, I do have to admit that kid's acting was horrible.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah. Like, how old was he? Like six? I mean, come on, some slack.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing about the early Indiana Jones movies were it was great writing. George Lucas, I believe, in his prime, fresh from the great Star Wars success, in between Star Wars, in fact.
Yeah.
And was writing some of the best of his career and created a character that we could relate to, that we could fall in love with, that we could watch over and over, that we could just get behind, and it was great. I don't know where that guy went. I don't know where George Lucas left all that stuff, like where he lost his bag of tricks, because I felt like Harrison Ford just phoned it in. I feel like Steven Spielberg just let it happen, kind of just let the train wreck happen.
Yeah.
I have a million problems with it, but I'll tell you what my biggest problem is. So you got your two-headed race commentator or Jar Jar Binks or some annoying thing that exists in Star Wars only because you can. In other words, this is George Lucas saying, well, look, back 25 years ago, we couldn't have had this guy walking around and talking to you and looking kind of realistic in this world. Yeah. So we should put him in. Well, not necessarily. It better be good if you're going to put him in, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's CGI gophers in this movie.
Is there? Oh, come on. I was hoping they wouldn't do any CGI stuff because that's what made the first Indiana Jones so great.
Yeah.
Was the true classic, you know,
stunts and everything.
It's stunts and the special effects were all, you know, nothing CGI. Of course, you know, the first ones really didn't have much of anything they could have done because it was so, you know, we didn't have too many special effects back then as far as CGI went.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was hoping they wouldn't do that. I was hoping they wouldn't cheapen it with any CGI effects, but you say they did.
Yeah. I mean, when they were melting people's faces, that was like a candle and stuff.
Yeah.
And when they were doing the mine carts in the second movie, that was all miniatures and stuff. And that was a really kind of fun, raw filmmaking style. But you know what? I don't really have a problem with CGI being used in an ambient way that looks right and feels okay. But these gophers are used in the way that Disney might use them. Or you might see them in, you know, some silly, you know, some Pixar,
It wasn't like the cool gopher from Caddyshack.
No, not at all. At least that thing was a stupid puppet, and it fit the universe of stupidness in that movie. In this movie, Indiana Jones is generally rooted in some pretty good, gritty reality. It's not superpowers, except where there's mystery involved with relics and things like that. It's him and his whip and his wits and his strength, and it's, you know, it's that kind of thing. Well, this movie just sort of throws a lot of that away. And these gophers show up not once, not twice, but three freaking times. And they do things gophers don't do, which is stand on the side of the road and watch a rocket car fly by. And the camera watches them in this very sort of cartoon animated
way. Wait a minute. Do you know for a fact that if a rocket car flew by a couple of gophers on the road, they would not watch it?
I do not know that for a fact. I know for a fact it looked really stupid in the movie. That's what I know. It was very distracting.
I was a gopher and I was on the road with my gopher companion and a rocket car flew by, I believe I would watch it.
Yeah, you may. And you're a bit of a gopher, really, at the core. But as I'm watching this movie, another scene I would like to mention.
So were these gophers the communists? Is that the reason? Was this the reason why the communists were so mad?
Maybe. Yes.
were these like Nazi gophers from the first movies?
Did I mention that they were speaking? They were talking gophers? I'm just kidding.
They were talking.
Really? I'm kidding. They didn't
say. I'm
kidding. I'm kidding.
Wait a minute. You're serious?
No, I'm kidding. They didn't talk.
Okay.
They didn't talk. Okay. If that would have been really, really, really bad. But
no. Because if they were talking gophers, according to Indiana Jones' universe, they would be German.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Now, how would a German gopher talk? Is my question.
Well, now it's the 50s, though, so they're Russian. The bad guys are Russian, and actually, that's
Wait
one.
A minute. If we're in the 50s, shouldn't they be like in some sort of what do you call those?
It's the Cold War, dude.
You know what? I completely forgot what I was going to say.
That's awesome.
It's all right.
That's great.
We'll carry on.
Yeah.
I blame your cats.
Carry on without you.
So.
Shouldn't they be like dancing and stuff and dressing like in those television series we see from the 50s?
They do that. They actually do that at one point.
Oh,
awesome. It's not actually a really bad idea to.
There's a dance scene. Wow.
Wow.
No, Brian, you're right. It's that time period is fine. Indy's age matches the time period. The Russians and the Cold War thing, that's all good. In fact, the Russians are one element that felt very Indiana Jones to me.
Yep.
There were other things like that, other sets and other pieces that were little bits and pieces. But
so did the gophers get blown up and do the Wilhelm scream?
No.
Did they do that?
But there was a Wilhelm scream from a dude.
Well, there has to be.
A guy in a library holding a stack of books while a motorcycle knocked him over.
Wow.
Yeah, if that sounds stupid, it is. Let me just say this one last thing about another CGI scene that was completely useless and a waste. There's a scene where Shia LaBeouf, damn you, Shia LaBeouf, who, by the way, who actually was, I can't believe I'm saying this. And I said it. I said it on the blog, but I cannot believe I'm saying this out loud. I went in thinking he would be the worst thing for me.
Yeah.
I came out thinking he was actually one of the strong points.
Yeah.
Damn you, Scott Johnson!
I'd worried about that because he's so young and enthusiastic that he might actually put himself into it, like you said. Because I was worried about, you know, Harrison Ford just phoning it in. So
and he did.
If LaBeouf put himself into the situation and really did it, I don't know, maybe he can do something.
Harrison Ford phoned it in on a hammock somewhere in the Caribbean with a cell phone.
I love that.
he just was not into it. Okay, so there's a scene with Shia LaBeouf swinging through the jungle with a bunch of CGI monkeys.
Get out of here. What a CGI
monkeys. Wait a minute. Okay. What can be worse than Shia LaBeouf swinging through the jungle?
Nothing.
Really? I mean, is he wearing like a fur thong?
No.
No.
He's wearing a leather biker jacket, like a 50s greaser leather biker jacket.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's like Tarzan from the 50s.
Yeah, and you know that scene in the third Star Wars movie, Episode 3, where they're Obi-Wan and Anakin are out there fighting on the big lava flow rocks, and they're floating down the river of lava, and it was just ridiculously stupid.
Yeah.
No, actually, I thought it was awesome.
I hated that. I hated it because it's like, oh, look, we can jump rock to rock and then somehow time it just right so we're on the same rock again. And then we'll get divided by a rock.
Of course they can do that. They know what's going to happen before it happens.
That scene is played out almost exactly, but change out lava river with pathway through the jungle and swap out lava rocks with tops of jeeps.
Okay, you see, that's where it doesn't make sense anymore because it makes a lot of sense that a Jedi can time a jump perfectly because a Jedi knows where he's going to land and a Jedi knows where the rock is going to be before it's there.
Yeah.
Now, Shia LaBeouf, in no universe whatsoever, would ever have the ability to predict where something is going to be. And why is that? Because he's freaking Shia LaBeouf.
I know. Now, you know how every Indiana Jones...
Let me say this. I cannot reinforce this statement strongly enough. Shia LaBeouf sucks.
All right. He's still one of the better things in the movie, but that doesn't mean
I like him.
Wait
a minute. Make me angry. Make me angry. And I don't care if this is a spoiler. Make me angry.
I wouldn't like you when you're angry.
Does he make out with a beautiful woman in the movie?
No. He does not do that at all.
Oh, okay. Justice has been... Does he make out with Harrison Ford?
No, dude. No.
And that would have been justice.
It would have been incestuous. Whatever. Because, you know, there's no... Again, this isn't a spoiler. Guess what? Shia LaBeouf is Indiana's son.
Yeah.
Stuff's predictable as hell. But anyway, so CGI scene with the monkeys, bad, bad, bad. I'm going to make mention of one more thing, and this is really important. One of the things we all love about Indiana Jones is he's got that whip. Got the bull whip, uses it all the time to great effect. Wonderful scenes involve the whip, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about the whip. Guess how many total times Indiana Jones uses his whip in this film?
Nary.
Time to, you know, quote from a very popular song, you know, if the cream has been out too long, you must whip it.
Yeah, whip it good. Well, apparently the cream had not been out very long because he used his whip a total of twice. He used it once.
But did he whip it good?
Yeah, well, that's even arguable because the stuntman whipped it good in the first one. And it's the one everyone's seen in the trailer. It's where he whips that light and swings into the truck. Okay, that's number one. Number two, and people will probably write me and go, you forgot the part where he freaking flossed his teeth with it or something. I won't remember some other scene. But he used it then, and then later in the movie, he used it to save a buddy of his.
Yeah.
So not enough whip. That is not Indiana Jones.
Though. I mean, yeah. You got to save your buddies.
Dumb. He wasn't even a buddy. It's a long story. I was going to say one more thing about it. Oh, you made me forget. Dang it. The whip. No, there was the whip, and then they got the thing with the stuff. I can't remember. Gosh, dang it. I just had it in my head about what he was going to...
We called the dog Indiana.
Indiana. By the way, he's dead in this movie. That's not a spoiler, people.
The dog was already dead anyway.
His dad is dead.
we figured the dog was dead. Jeez, man.
Sean Connery's dead. They cut his head off, and that's how that works, as I understand it.
They cut his head off?
No. It's a Highlander reference.
Well, that would have been awesome, though.
Yeah, it would have been. And I cannot remember the other thing. There's something. Oh. Okay. In every Indiana Jones movie, you have to touch on the idea and make a joke out of the fact that Indiana is terrified of snakes.
Yeah.
So, this being an Indiana.
He's terrified of any critter. He's terrified of bugs and stuff like that.
No,
too.
He just brushes those off.
No,
he's
wait. No, he's not terrified of. Yeah. He's terrified of snakes.
You're thinking of.
That's the girl.
You're thinking of Kate Capshaw, dude.
Yeah,
she's a lot different than Harrison Ford.
They look very much the same.
True, except that she did shoot first in her meeting with Greedo. Anyway, that's way off the point. The point is that there's always something about him being scared of snakes. In this movie, they had a chance to do that, of course. And here's how it went. Again, this is not a spoiler. It's just a stupid scene. Indiana Jones is sinking in the sinks, quicksand. Shia LaBeouf saves him with a giant rubber snake.
Damn you, Shia LaBeouf!
That's what he did. He threw it out there like a little lasso and pulled him out. No, he didn't use his whip. Could have used that. That would have been a third chance to use the whip. But no, he had to throw the poor guy a snake. A very obviously rubber snake. And pull a full-grown 65-year-old man out of the...
Plan 9 from outer space, you know, fighting that monster that they just throw the rubber monster on him and he sort of struggles with it to make it look like it's actually alive.
It was like that, yeah. A big rubber snake. And had this been a real snake, they would have torn it asunder, as the kids would say. It would have been torn apart, guts would have been everywhere. It was stupid. It looked stupid.
Does a snake have guts? If you tore a snake apart, would guts actually come out?
Yeah. There's lots of guts in a snake. You ever cut a snake open?
Do you tear snakes up? No, I have not cut a snake open. I'm a vegetarian. I love all animals.
Well, I killed a snake. I killed a rattler once that was trying to kill me. I hit it with an axe, cut it in half, and inside were guts.
Yeah, he chopped him up with his axe that he always carries around with him.
No, is that a camp out, dude? It's a little wood axe, you know? One of them.
That's Scott's MO. Yeah, Indiana has his... whip. Scott's got his bloody axe.
Now, I haven't even gotten to the main point, which is the plot of this
Jeremy
whole thing.
Jeremy has declared war on the Jones boys.
I mean, think of that. We call the dog Indiana. The first movie had your arc of the Covenant. That's cool, Covenant. Mysterious, trippy, fun, Egyptian, you know, cool archaeological stuff. The second one, and of course it had that opening scene, which was insane, with the big rolling ball and all that. The opening scene of this movie is a Russian truck driver having a race with a bunch of teenagers in a convertible on the road with 50s music playing. Dumb. Don't even get me started about how Indiana survived a nuclear blast. I may seriously vomit right now thinking about it again. It was this. Anyway, forget all about that. The point is, what was my point? Gosh dang. Oh, the main plot device in the second one are these Shankara stones. Bring back to us. Bring back to us. You must bring them back. That whole thing, right? And you have the little glowing stones and the dude that can tear your heart out and it still beats. And
yeah,
that's kind of cool. It's got a cool archaeological ancient relic kind of thing. It's Tomb Raider, man. That's what makes Indiana Jones kind of cool, is this ancient Indian lore and whatever. Great. Third movie. You got your whole... what was the point of that movie? I forget now.
Make money. Holy
Grail. Yeah, the Holy Grail. Sorry, the Holy Grail and all that. And that's again a mysterious, interesting religious relic. I mean, I don't think it has to be religious to work, but something that's, you know, mysterious and has powers ancient. We don't understand, and it's ancient and blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
only the penitent man will pass, as we know. Okay, those are great. All those are great. Come Indiana Jones 4.
It took an awfully long time to...
I know. I'm almost done here. And then at some point, I want to bring Randy in and have a counterpoint, because I wonder if he feels any differently than I do.
Because I have a question. I have like an actually interesting question, not this nonsense you're babbling about. Get to the point.
All right, let me get to the point. Last point. The point is this. This movie surrounds...
What did you call the dog?
This Indiana. This whole thing, the whole plot line is about... the skulls of alien invaders.
Yeah, we sort of deduced that from the title.
Right.
Yeah.
And they find these things, and there's an Area 51 joke, and there's all this other stuff about these alien heads. It felt like an X-Files episode mashed up with some sort of cheap sci-fi original, you know, movie kind of thing, sci-fi channel thing. It just felt way out of the realm of this world. It didn't fit the world. It didn't fit what we already know about him and about how the movies work and the way things feel. It felt like X-Men 3. It felt like Episode 1. It felt like every movie I've seen that had such great potential and then pooped. Yeah. They also stole ideas right out of Stargate, right out of various other types of...
They had a Stargate in this one?
It wasn't a Stargate, but they stole an idea from Stargate.
Did they have MacGyver in it?
I won't give that away.
I know it.
You'll have
to see
that.
Did they have MacGyver?
That part could be spoilers, so I won't give that away. But there's
because if they had a Teal'c in it, it could only have been awesome.
That's true.
My question is this. I haven't seen any interviews yet with George Lucas, because he's obviously waiting for everything to come through before he really says what's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious where he was trying to go with this, because, you know, the original Indiana Jones was a throwback to all the serials. I wonder if he really kind of wanted to do something more 50s sci-fi movie related with this one. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Maybe.
So maybe when I go in with this knowledge you have given us that I must be forewarned that there's going to be CGI gophers, maybe I can enjoy it better, because I think you have lowered my expectations so greatly.
You're going to actually enjoy it. That's very possible. And if you liked Willow and if you liked Howard the Duck, chances are you'll like this movie.
Yeah. Wait a minute here. You didn't
I love
like
Willow?
Look, I liked Willow on some level, but I thought Willow, even as a kid.
Be silent!
Even as a kid. I was pretty young. I was pretty young when I saw it. And on the whole, I kind of thought Willow wasn't all that great. And my expectations were totally not met with Willow. Were they for you? I have no son.
My expectations weren't met. How old were you?
I don't know.
Oh, Dad, that movie really sucked.
Wait, when did that come out? Hold on. I think that's like early 90s, dude. I was like 20 or something.
Yeah.
I was an adult. Hold on. Let's look at it.
You didn't have
Willow, 1988. I was just out of high school.
How'd you have any expectations of Willow? There had been nothing really like that before then. Really.
I knew it was George Lucas. I knew it was George Lucas.
I mean, what did that monster come out and you go like, oh, you know, that looks horrible.
Oh,
like a Muppet.
Worst. It's those little midget things that ran around.
There's
the whole time.
Midgets in this movie.
It was the midgets. The midgets freaked you out, didn't they? That's what you didn't like. Willow.
No, not Warwick Davis. I like Warwick Davis. I'm talking about the other little midgets.
Batman?
The little tiny guys. No, you want
a
little bit.
I always thought that the main midget in Willow, whatever his name was, he was awesome because he had huge hands.
I'm talking about the Kevin Pollak character plus the little skinny one version of him. You guys know what I'm talking about?
I mean, he rocked. You see all the dwarves and the midgets, and they all got like these chubby little hands. But this guy, he had huge hands.
That movie sucked.
That movie rocked.
All right. Oh, you
had like that was like the Lord of the Rings before the Lord of the Rings finally got made.
Yes, I am with Brian here and Scott.
Oh,
I'm sorry, but I'm gonna have to move you like a few steps closer to Shia LaBeouf.
This hurts, dude. That hurts. All right, so I want to hear your question, though. You have some serious question you think is worthy of...
Yes. I have a very relevant question.
Go ahead.
I have been hearing...
Brian,
you
are you okay?
About...
Hold on. Brian, you all right there, dude? You need like a drink?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm right. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
All right, good.
Hello.
I have been hearing you whine about a bunch of stuff that I do not find relevant.
Oh, all right.
And to me, Indiana Jones is all about the booby traps.
Well,
now,
there are none.
Do I get booby traps in this movie?
No.
Booby traps.
You don't get any booby traps.
And he's not talking about those secretly laid traps. He's talking about the women.
Oh. Well, then you get Marion from the first movie, who, by the way, looks like she was dug up and reanimated. Man, I'm not kidding about that. She looks terrible. I'm not just
really,
talking looks.
I've seen pictures of her recently, and she doesn't look that old. I mean, she's
I don't mean age. I'm talking about acting. And there's a look in her eye of, I need more Vicodin, I need more Vicodin, I need more Vicodin. I mean, she looks like she's losing it to me. I don't know. Maybe me, but her acting is horrific. And I don't think it was that great in the first movie to begin with.
Yeah. You did answer the booby traps.
No booby traps.
Yeah, and what's she done since? Nothing. There were no booby traps, dude. There was never a scene where he's like, oh, don't step on that rock. You're going to shoot a freaking poison arrow up your face. None of that stuff happens.
All Indiana Jones movies have booby traps.
I thought you were the whip.
Exactly. All real Indiana Jones movies have that. They have whips. They have giant boulders. They have huge swords. They have chases that are crazy. They have man-eating alligators. They have minecart rides.
They have They have bad guys with bad teeth.
Yep, they have a. They always have one big, huge dude that you either need to grind up in the rock grinder or hit with the plane blade. Or what was he in the third movie? What was it? Who was that guy? Because there's always that guy.
I would like to state that Randy, who at this moment is in the chat room and who I believe knows infinitely more about movies than you do, Scott, says there were booby traps in the movie.
All right, we're bringing him in. Hold on.
That's it. We're bringing him in. That's it. That's He's coming in.
Yeah, that, it's going down.
What is this?
Wow, what a mansion!
Captain Wesker, where's Chris?
Stop it! Don't open that door!
Okay, Randy.
Hold on, let me turn off my air conditioner.
Oh, you and the damned air conditioner. What do you live in, Texas? I mean, yes, you do live in Texas.
Okay, yes, I love Texas too.
Yeah. Hey, now, it should be said, let me make this very clear.
Texas. He lives in the new and improved Texas, Texas 2,
yeah,
Return
hot,
of the Texas.
Hot Texas. Listen, it should be noted that Randy Jordan, co-host of The Instance and all-around good guy, generally agrees with my review of the film. However...
Yes, I do. That's correct.
My understanding is that you know of a booby trap that I missed. I don't remember that at all.
There were a couple, and they were in a graveyard that he and LaBeouf... Damn you, Shia LaBeouf! They... they raid right after they get to Nazca.
What? Oh, say that again.
He's not doing it right. There's no feeling.
Oh, well, no one can do it like you, dude.
Right.
Yeah, it's like Pepe Del Fuego.
I just was. It's so disappointing when Shia finally shows up on screen because you've had like 15 minutes of.
Wait. So you're on a first name basis with him now?
Yeah. Shia shows up.
Do you love him?
I'm just not giving him the benefit of a whole name.
Yeah. By the way, O is a little sensitive about Shia LaBeouf, so it can be expected. So you're saying in that graveyard, when did the actual? I know those little dudes came out and danced around and fought and stuff, but where was the trip, or where was the like you said?
Well,
the
first there was like a wall of traps where Indy says to whatever his name was, "Don't touch anything," and he's just about to touch something. Then there's a trap right past that that Indy figures out how to work, which is just a big like a big teeter totter.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yeah, where it rolled in and rolled out. But see, no one was ever like in any sort of peril, and nothing actually went off. Like in all the other movies, booby traps went off and killed somebody. You know, throw me the Addy, I'll throw you the whip. That guy got 12 spikes through the face.
But besides that disappearing stairwell, which is an incredible trap, but doesn't really have the sort of punch that you're looking for.
Yeah.
We don't say punch here. We say oomph.
Oof. That's fine.
Yeah.
There are a ton of people get killed by collapsing things in the last sort of structure they get into, including the double agent, whatever you want to call that guy,
the British fall guy.
I think we're getting into spoilers here.
No, see, this isn't a spoiler, though. There's a place that's all torn to pieces, that no big deal. But what I'm saying is that wasn't like a trap.
Not big deal. This is a spoiler. I'm just telling you everything about the movie.
It was just falling apart. You know what I mean? So it's not like it was a trap.
But there's like a hallway they got to run through where things are grinding together right behind them. That's a trap, man.
That's true. I forgot about those big gear things.
Okay, so
I forgot about that.
That's not an important subject.
It really isn't. I don't know why O brought it up. It's pretty damn stupid, if you ask me.
Okay, that's not an important subject.
Are you all through? Yeah. You're all through talking?
No, he's got something else to say. What else are you going to say?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, but I'd like to hear Brian's question. Brian?
Well, I would too, actually.
Go ahead.
Didn't he make it already?
I don't know. Did you, Brian?
What'd I make?
You're confusing me. Do you have a question or something to say?
No, I've been holding my ears away from the headphones so y'all can finish giving away everything.
Oh, you're trying not to be spoiled.
Yeah, because I don't get to see it until tomorrow.
Oh.
If y'all keep telling me which bad guys die, which is all... I'm going to know exactly when they die and how they die. And I'm going to be, hey, Suzanne, watch this part.
Hey, yeah. Sorry. By the way, Indiana Jones wins. What all the spoiler can I give you? He wears pants.
Don't say it. Bye.
Oh, You're going to bed. You're not. Well, yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Randy.
To summarize, though, when I came out of the film, besides the fact that I made fun of it for, you know, Lucas and Spielberg doing the same thing they've done in every movie they've ever made, I called it good, not great. I thought it had good, not great acting, good, not great script, good, not great effects, blah, blah, blah. And to that end, I find myself appreciating the film a little more than Scott. And I'm not going to ratchet my opinion of it down just so that I completely agree with Scott. I think I'm hearing you call it like a 4 or 5 out of 10, right?
I give it a 5, yeah.
And I would say I'm a little higher than that, like a 6 out of 10. And there's no bigger gulf in the 10 scale than between 5 and 6. It's, you're saying you don't really care one way or the other, or saying you actually like the film. And I did actually like the film. I don't think I would pay to see it again, but I can see how it fits into the indie canon if you throw away the very end of the third film.
And you throw away all logic and what a refrigerator can do.
Okay, children, don't fight.
Refrigerators now, are the worst.
Something that has always been missing from every Indiana Jones movie,
yeah,
to my opinion, is hot babes.
Hot babes, naked babes, absolutely.
Okay,
No, not necessarily naked babes, but hot babes. You never get a really hot babe that you can say, I want to go to the movie and watch it for this babe. And
unless you're into those, those brown riding pants that women wear.
No,
then,
yeah, I know
then
what you
they're
mean.
Hot.
Yeah, they're really hot. They're literally...
How do you feel about the babe interest being 59 years old?
Whoa, is she 59?
Well, I've seen that's several 59-year-old women that are definitely hot.
Wait,
this is one of them.
Is that relic Karen Allen? She's 59?
58, maybe?
I think she should have been the relic they were all after. That should have been the thing they were going for.
That's waka, waka.
Look, if you like the elf... Hold on, Brian. I'm going to say this one quick, and then it's your turn. I don't mean to say that the way it sounded. That sounded wrong.
Finally, a question from the B-Man.
Yeah, I just want to say this. I want to say this.
Anything Scott is going
to
say.
The elf queen is always sort of hot to me. She's got a great... So she is the best-looking woman to ever appear in an Indiana Jones film, as far as I am concerned.
Okay.
What's her name? I can't think of her name, but the elf queen...
Cate Blanchett.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I've never been able to see her as hot.
I have her eyes, dude. Something about her eyes.
I can lick her eyes all night.
But you can't have sex with the eyes.
That's not what Seamus 22 says.
I mean, you can look into them while you are having sex, but you cannot have sex to the eyes. It just doesn't work.
All right, so Brian, you had a question?
I got a question. Okay, I think this will surmise everything that I have questions about. When the DVD collection is finally complete,
yeah,
are you going to buy this as a complete set? Like, would you buy this and say, I want 1, 2, 3, and 4? That's what I want to buy. Are you just going to go ahead and buy the set now, or are you already own the set now on Blu-ray and you're just going to leave it at that?
They don't have it on Blu-ray yet, but if they did, if they had Blu-ray collection of, because right now they just released the first three in a new collection.
Yeah.
Like last week.
That's what I'm saying. Are you going to say, you know what? I'm just going to wait for the fourth one to come out and then I'm going to buy my collection. Or are you going to say, forget it. I'm just going to get the first three. And, when the fourth one comes out, I might get special collectors.
If they gave me a Blu-ray collection of the first three, that is completely all I need. I do not need this fourth one in that group.
Okay. Now, if you bought all four, would you throw the fourth one out?
No, I mean, obviously I would keep it because I had to pay the money either way, and there it is, and whatever. I probably never hardly watch it.
You need to keep the fourth one because the day I visit your home, you need to play this movie so I can shout at Sheila Booth while I watch it.
Yeah.
You know you're going to like it.
Yeah, exactly. Randy, what do you think?
If you had the option to buy
the collection, or would you go ahead and do it now, and 6 months down the line they're going to have another one, would you wait?
If I could buy the collection without the second one, yes.
Oh.
That's the way I feel. But I don't like...
Randy is awfully serious tonight.
He is very serious. He's serious as a heart attack.
Are you okay? Talk to
us. I've had a long day, and it's a movie I saw about 4 or 5 days ago, and I'm ready to put it behind me.
I'm with you.
Okay,
so you're saying if they gave you the option to swap out 2 for 4, you'd do that?
Yes, but I'll also say this. I like 1 so much better than 2, 3, and 4 that I will probably only buy the Blu-ray of the first one, and I don't think I'll ever buy the Blu-ray of the others.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right.
Not really.
Brian, that was an excellent question. Do you have any more of that quality and caliber?
No, I'm done.
All right. Well, that's generally the take on the movie. I wanted to, real quick before we run out of time, talk about some of the stuff about Indiana Jones that we love. I've been talking a lot about what I hate about this movie. And by the way, the same thing holds true if they do a three movie Blu-ray collection of the X-Men movies. I don't care to have 3 in that group. I just take 2 and 1.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, same problem I have. And if you give me a Star Wars collection, I'm really not that interested in the prequels. I'd rather just have the others and then have Han Solo shoot first, and then I'm fine.
Do you ever shut up?
Nope. Okay, here is... here is what I want to do. Our favorite Indiana Jones moments in the series, okay? Here are my top 3, and I want to go around the circle. This is a little on the fly, so I want you guys to, you know, use your brains here. My favorite moments are as follows, and you're going to be surprised by some of this. Number 1, Indiana Jones escaping the first tomb in the opening sequence of the first movie. That whole sequence is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Number 2 for me is going to be when Indiana hits Short Round in the face. not because he's hitting Short Round. I just think it's a very impactful, emotional moment in an otherwise not the best movie of the series. And 3rd is the ant attack scene in this new one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was Indiana Jones to the T. I felt like that was pure Jones material. It just kept begging the question, why isn't the rest of this movie like this? And I don't mean just frantically running away from things, but the structure of that and the feel of that was such a throwback for me to the earlier films. There's lots of other things I could point to, but those are 3 that come to my mind right now. Brian, yours.
In part 2, when Indy brings back the stones and the children, most importantly, the children. Those four people.
That
is like one of my favorite moments, and it's just so beautiful, you know. And they're all they're smiling, they don't have any teeth, you know, and little kids, you know. It's just, I love that part, I really do. But really, the part 3, really, to me, it just got some of the greatest. I mean, the dialogue between, you know, Sean Connery and it was just great. I mean, yeah. I think he just brought something to the movie that wasn't necessarily missing from the first and second one. It took Indiana Jones to a new level for me. So I really like 3.
Junior.
Even though I have Junior. Yeah. Even though I love the first one.
Yeah.
And it's hard to pick out one moment, because like you said the boulder scene is great.
Yeah.
I love that, you know, there's so many great moments I can remember from these movies. Like him standing in the city with the, you know, the staff, and that was great. I mean, there's just so many great moments.
You just reminded me, by the way, I was reminded of who the, you know, there's always the big dude. Like in the first movie, it's the big German that comes out and gets hit by the plane prop. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
There's always that guy. The second movie was the huge slave driver dude that gets ground up in the rock grinder.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the third movie, I figured out who it is. He's not so big, but he's that sadistic second in command sort of Nazi general guy that flies off the cliff in the tank.
Yeah.
Oh, now, if you ask me,
that's who that guy is. The third, I know who the guy is in this fourth one. He's that Russian henchman dude.
Right. He's a big guy.
But I didn't buy him as much as that guy. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the most important part of any Indiana Jones movie thus far, and I really hope this is in the latest one, and I think it's the biggest star, is the stunts and the music. I mean, without the music, I mean, the music just strings you along the whole way.
Yep.
And he just pulls at you the whole time. And I just think the music and the audio and the special effects and just all that just makes those movies just fantastic.
This one had the music, but all it did was serve to remind me of things that were better with that music. It was almost annoying. It was like, well, this sucks, but that music's great. Why are they... Movie sucks. Okay. Let's go to O. We'll do Randy last. O, your favorite Indiana Jones moments?
I'm always last.
No, you're second to last. See, you're second.
Let me talk, Scott.
You're moving up, dude. Moving on up.
Okay. when the guy rips out the guy's heart and holds it up, still beating in number two.
Okay.
Yeah. That was awesome.
That part. The monkey brains, number two.
Oh, yeah. The chilled monkey brains.
Yeah.
Oh, the dinner scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love awesome. That one.
Okay.
I love the dinner scene. In number three, the booby traps at the end, all the trials. I love the trials.
Yeah.
Even though they were rather simple, but I like them.
They were fun. I love that. I love that kind of stuff, too, because it's all like ancient and cool. Dude, see,
I love the trials.
You're all going to hate this movie. Okay.
From the fourth one, my favorite part is where Shia LaBeouf dies.
I like that part, too.
Yeah, that was a good part.
Miserably.
All right, so Randy, your three favorite moments.
Okay, just for an extra level of difficulty, since I said I liked the first one only, I'm only going to give you moments from the other three. Temple of Doom, the beginning. The beginning with the poisoning and the diamond, and he finally gets out of this massive fight, and he ends up on a plane, and then the pilots ditch. Amazing.
Yeah, that was a fun movie. That was a fun scene. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I liked it.
Second, I'll have to go with Last Crusade. I love that joke where that guy, Marcus Brody, has stolen parts of the diary, and Indy has this whole thing about he's ahead of us and he's got everything he needs and he knows everybody from here to wherever and he speaks a million languages and he knows every custom, blah blah blah, and then the scene cuts to this guy walking down some street of some broken down town wearing an English suit and hat.
Totally stands out.
He looks like he's about to get mugged any second.
That was classic.
And then a really fantastic action sequence from this final film, and that was the motorcycle chase. And I said this to Scott the other day. I said, I can't believe the stunt guy that they got to play Indy in some of the – there were some Jackie Chan-level stunts, and you didn't think, ooh, that's a stunt guy. It really looked like Harrison Ford.
That was a decent scene. I'll give you that. Like I said, there were things in this new movie that had like – I'd go, oh, this is it. Okay, just maintain this. This is how it feels, and then it would be. But that was one of them. That was a fine scene, I have to admit.
It was great, excellent until they tried to end it on a joke.
Yep.
But I will still call that the best action sequence in the film, and I thought it was in top three of all the films.
Wow. All right. There you go. And there's obviously plenty more. We'd love to hear what yours are. Send those to myextralife@gmail.com. That's going to do it, folks. This was a quick, fast show. And what's an hour? So it's not really fast. Normal time. Got a bunch of stuff to play after this, so stay tuned for that. Thanks, Doe. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Randy for popping in. Thanks to all you guys for listening. Thanks to Rob Goobers for our music, Scott Fletcher for our voice work, and everyone else who contributes to this here fine show, especially our sponsors, GoDaddy and YouBuyNow.com. What else I got to tell you? I think that's probably all I got to tell you. I can't remember. But we'll be here next week with more show, more fine show for you right here on the show. If I sound like I'm in a hurry, I got to go do this flag thing. It's a long story. I won't explain it here. If you want to be a part of the show, I mentioned the email, myextralife@gmail.com or extralifradio@gmail.com. Either one of those works just fine. Myextralife.com has the forums, the blog, and everything else where you can kind of chat with each other and hang out. If you want to send us a phone call the Gob Line, 801-471-0GOB. Call that now, and we might just play your call right here on the air. Until next week, which will be show number 183, everyone have a great week, and we'll see you then.
Hey! What's going on?
Jill? Is that you, Jill? What happened?
Barry, help me, please. The door won't open. Quick!
Hey, this is Chris Knight, and just so you know, I've had a few ladies tell me that the only man they would stop, drop, and marry would be Shia LaBeouf. Sorry, man. Damn you, Shia LaBeouf!
Do you ever shut up?
Nope.